We have been spending some time studying the book of Mark, the first chapters, first four chapters of the book of Mark, and today we will end, and as we move into Isaiah 53 next week, preparing for Easter, and God willing, sometimes maybe next year we will come back to the book of Mark, maybe at another point. But anyway, and I hope it has been a very encouraging and helpful exercise, and it has helped you understand not only the book but also Jesus and God more. We've been doing that under the theme, the King is here. That's really the message of the book of Mark. He's saying the Son of God is here and he's a king. He's of course a different king, but he's a king nonetheless. This evening we're looking at the Son who calms the storm. Now many years ago, I think about 12 or 14 years ago, I don't remember. It's probably the same time. I was a student. Well, I'm still a student somehow, but I was a student there, like a full-time student. And I didn't have a lot of money, but I just became a Christian, and I wanted to buy books. I liked reading, and I thought I would benefit from reading. And so every time I would go and look at the bookshelf, and I didn't have a lot of money, so I'll look at good titles, but they didn't cost a lot, right? Because I couldn't afford a lot of money for books. And there was one day I bought this book. Now I've lost it. I don't even know where it went. When you move a few times, you lose a lot of things. But the title was When God Does Not Make Sense. When God Doesn't Make Sense by Dr. Dobson. And I liked the title, and that's all I could afford, so I bought it. And I didn't regret buying it. Now, you know, usually when you buy cheap things, you get cheap things, right? So you bet you get what you paid for. But this book was deeper. And I was like, oh man, sometimes you can spend little money but still get a whole lot of value. Now, the book, When God Doesn't Make Sense, really is all about when God doesn't make sense. It's all about those difficult times in life of a Christian. When you look at situation and you go, what is happening here? I'm not sure I understand this. This goes against everything I think I've heard. Let me give you an example. There's a pastor in the book. Now, I don't remember all the details because I don't have the book anymore. If I had it, I would have actually gone and checked it out. There's a pastor who's pastoring a church. He's doing God's work. He's a minister of God's word. Faithful minister. And his daughter, they just found out that his daughter has cancer in the knee. And the best option possible is to actually amputate her leg. And she's just 11 years old. And so everybody in the church started praying. And they were praying prayer chains. And everybody had been praying, and they've been telling them what the doctors have been saying. And everybody's praying for healing. And the book says that the pastor, he believed it. And so even at the last minute, when they're entering theater to get the surgery done, he still believes that a miracle is going to happen. Something is going to happen. And then the doctor comes out and he still thinks, he's going to come and tell me that, hey, listen, we didn't have to chop a leg off. And then the doctor says, everything is under control. We had a very good surgery and we managed to remove the cancer as well. How do you deal with that? Did he not pray? Of course he prayed. Was he not a Christian? Of course he was a Christian. But how do you deal with that? How do you deal with such waves and difficulties in life? You know, there are stories of people who they became Christians and they were faithful Christians, and yet they lost their job. Then they couldn't provide for their families. What happened? Now, I talk to a lot of you and I know stories like, oh man, the uncle or the brother who was providing for our family died, and therefore nobody can provide for our family. How do you deal with those waves and storms that life throws at you? Especially when you're a believer, a Christian. Well, that's what Mark is talking about here, isn't it? Remember, I told you last time that he was writing to a church. A church that was going under persecution. That's why he wrote the book of Mark, to encourage them, to remind them that, hey, listen guys, what you believe is true, and hold on to those truths. Of course, Jesus is king. He's bigger than the emperor. And so he says to them, there will come waves. There will come trials. There will come storms. Hold in there. Why? Because Jesus is Lord. Not just Lord of your heart. He's Lord of the universe. He's got control over everything. Just trust him. You see, so Mark is really talking about Jesus' lordship, about the universe and about nature. But indirectly, he's asking us to trust him. Indirectly, he's putting out a lesson for us, saying, when you face difficulties in life and hardship and things you don't understand, well, trust him. Why? Because he's in control. Trust him. Why? Well, because he's sovereign. Now, that's my goal this evening. And I know many of you are probably going through some hard stuff and you're not telling anybody. And I know many of you are still asking hard questions like, why God did you allow my dad to die? Why God did you allow my mother to die? Why God did you do this? Why God did you do that? And I know many of you, and that's very sad, unfortunately. Sometimes you think, oh well, it's that uncle who bewitched me. It's that person, because it can't be God. Well, I am hoping that you will start understanding that sometimes God allows these hard things to happen in our lives and around us, so as we can trust him. He's really putting us into a position where he says, trust me and watch what I can do. So I am hoping that as you walk out of here, whatever that situation is, you will walk out and you say, Lord, I just want to trust you more. Lord, I will trust you more. Jesus, I'll trust you because you are sovereign God. You control everything. You have power. You know, there's a song. I don't know who sang it, but I think it was a repeat. Some people were singing it again and again, but it's in English. You don't have to worry. Now, I'm not going to sing it for you, but somewhere it says, no matter what may come my way, my life is in your hand. Now, the song starts, you don't have to worry, nor be afraid. Joy comes in the morning, trouble, they always come. There is a friend in Jesus. We'll always, now I lose it. I should be singing and I remember it. But the chorus goes, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my trust, my life is in your hand. Thank you. And I'm hoping that's what you will do. I'm hoping that when you walk out of here, you'll say, no matter what may come my way, my life is in your hand, and I'll trust you. 3 points. Facing the storm. That's our first point. The second is Lord of the storm. And then the third, he calms the storm. Facing the storm, Lord of the storm, he calms the storms. Facing the storm. Verse 35. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boat were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Now, there's a form of Christianity that is going around in the city. And I'm sure you've heard it, and you've heard it on the radio, you've heard it. You probably have sat under somebody who's preaching it. And they tell you, you come to Jesus, all your problems are finished. I was actually watching something on Facebook the other day, and it's a Nigerian song. Everything will double, you know, because my Lord is good. Oh. And I always tell them, you know, you just said everything, right? So it's not just a good thing, it's a bad thing as well. Like, but they don't like the bad thing. They say everything will double, and it's just, I'll get to double house and I'll get double. I mean, I'm like, anyway. Yeah, they'll get double wives and double husband and wife. Anyway, some people think that just because you're Christian, just because you're doing God's work, you can't face hardship in life. You can't face storms in life. Well, this passage is saying, no. That's wrong. That's not biblical. Actually, if you look at the whole Bible, it's almost saying that everything will double, and it's usually the trouble. It's usually the hardship. It's usually the opposition. Now, of course, here it's talking about natural things. So look, why are the disciples on the boat? Well, Jesus said, verse 35, let us go across to the lake. Hey, guys, I think we've done enough teaching and preaching here. Let's now go on the other side. That's what Jesus said. So they were just obeying Jesus' command. So if they were on the lake, well, they were just obeying Jesus' command. And yet, even while they were obeying Jesus' command, they were faced with storms. You see, that version of Christianity would have heard this passage say, because they obeyed Jesus, everything went fine. They drove, you know, their boat just went nicely. And there were storms around them, but they were not affected. Well, it says, no. They were affected. They were affected so much that these people went to Jesus and said, what is happening with you, man? We're dying. Look, there, what does it say? Verse 38. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? It didn't say, do you not care that we're having a difficult time? Those people were like, we're going to die. Now, my dear friend, those people were experienced fishermen. It was not the first time they were on that lake. It probably was not the first time they were facing a wave. But they knew that this was the end. You know, like we like to say in Swahili, they'll be writing their testament now. And they'll be confessing their sins. A little bit like that. Now, I've been on the lake. Now, I know you've been on the lake, Kivu, a few times. When you hit ground, like, and I've been on the lake a few times, and I always like to go with a big boat. But this time, I thought, let me try the small one. Hey, my dear friend, if I can, I'll just use the big one. And then you get in a big lake, in the ground, like, and it start hitting, and you're like, pew, pew, and the wave is coming, and you're going. Now, the only thing that kept me from panicking is I looked at the guy who was driving it, and I thought, oh, he's cool, so it's fine. So if that guy was panicking, man, these guys were panicking. They looked, water was going into the boat, and they said, hey, listen, this is it. We're done. We're done. So they looked to Jesus, and notice what they said. They said to Jesus, hey, wake up. Come and help us get this water out. Looks like you don't care if we die. Wake up, help us get this water out. Maybe if there's 10 hands, maybe there's 11 hands, maybe we'll get enough water out and survive this. That's how they're approaching it. But in their mind, they have no clue of what Jesus is going to do. In their mind, all they're telling this teacher who's lying there, hey, wake up and help us get some of this water out. We need some more hands. Otherwise, we're going to die. Now, let me stop here and ask two things, my dear friend. Are you one of those who thinks that just because you are a Christian, life will not be hard? Let me give you a very good news. It will be hard. Storms will come. They will come in different shape, different types, but they will come. It's not because you're Christian that you can't die of cancer. It's not because you're Christian that your kid can't die. It's not because you're Christian that you can't have difficulties in life. Those things will come. And you better brace yourself for that. The question is, when they come, what will you do? Now, we've just seen the disciple here. They are questioning Jesus' compassion and Jesus' love and care for them. They said, don't you care? Does it not mean anything if we die? But their mistake is also, they question him, not as God, but as a human. Now, I will come back to it, and I hope I remember this, but I'll come back to it when we're doing the application. Is when we are facing storms and trials in life, chances are we are saying God can't help us, or God doesn't want to help us, doesn't want to help us. And either of those is not true. So what does Jesus do when they call him? Well, they find out that he is the Lord of the storm. And he is the master over everything. Verse 39. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the sea. Be still. And the wind ceased. and there was a great calm. Then he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? If you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey?" So they wake Jesus up and they say to Jesus, "Jesus, come. There's so much water in here. Hey, here's your bucket. Get some water out." And then what Jesus does shocks them. You can see verse 41. They just go, "What is happening here?" Jesus stands up and he says to the sea, to the water, to the wind, he says, "Be still." And notice the word that says, it didn't say, "And it started to calm." And it took 10 more minutes for it to calm. It says, "And the wind ceased." And there was a great calm. What Mark is saying here is when the Lord of the universe stood and he spoke to his creation and said, "Stop." On the instantly, creation responded. Mark is saying, did you know that this Jesus has power over nature and creation? That's what he's saying to these people. He's sovereign. Now imagine me on my boat, driving, going to Goma, and there's a lot of storm, and everybody start panicking, and the captain comes and say, "Hey, you should wear life jacket." Thanks. "Wear your life jacket, because we don't know what's going to happen." And then I come out, I say, "Ah, don't worry, I'm going out." And I say, be still. What would happen? Everybody would look at me and say, maybe this guy needs to be tied up. He may just be dangerous for us. Because nobody would expect that. You see, the disciples didn't think that Jesus would do that. They look at Jesus as a mere human, a good teacher. And maybe he had done a couple of miracles, but man, to stop the water and the wave and the storm. Yeah, you can heal the sick, you can chase the demons. Yeah, maybe. But I mean, you mean nature, you can just make it stop. And that's what he did. Because he's Lord of nature. And he did it more than me and you would do it. Now, I have a small 3-year-old boy, and I have a 1-year-old daughter. Now, I would like to say that I say to them, "Hey, stop," and they stop. But it doesn't happen. You see, it's now my children, but when I say to them, they'll look at me and they go, "What is happening?" And then I have to like, hey, watch out. Oh, yes. You see, this instant injunction doesn't happen even with my own children. But it happened with the creator of the universe. The point is here, he's got so much power because he's a creator. Because he's the one who's sovereign. Now, Jesus said to the disciple, "Didn't you know that that's who I was?" And what is his reproach? His reproach is what? "Why did you fear? I mean, didn't you know that I was with you? Didn't you know that I was with you in the boat? Did you think for a moment that this boat would sink?" And it's true. I mean, really, even death couldn't hold them because he was God. And yet they were fearful because they forgot who was in the boat with them. Even worse, my dear friend, notice. When Jesus does that miracle, verse 41, when Jesus calmed the sea, notice what happens. And they were filled with great fear and said to them, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey?" See, when you come to see God in all his power, the right reaction is, "What is this?" You don't get familiar with God. You look and you go, "Wow." Let me ask you, when you are faced with trial and tribulation, when we are faced with different problems, it may be school fees or whatever, how do you react? Almighty, do you remember that you've got the Lord of the universe with you, and therefore you don't fear? And the wave can go around you. It can keep making noise. You know, I have the Lord of the universe with me. I know he can do. He can call the saints. I know he's powerful. I know he has the power. And I know he loves me. Let's put all those things together. He calms the storm. That's who Jesus does. That's who Jesus is. He's the one who calms the storm. You see, two things we've learned from this passage. There will be storms. It's normal. There'll be life storms, big, small, dangerous ones. There will be storms. There'll be winds. There'll be storms that will shake you. That will get you to the point where you are very fearful. And yet Jesus says, do not be afraid. I'm the Lord of the storm. I can calm the storm. Now the question is, how is Jesus able to calm the little and storms of our lives? Well, the answer is because he could calm the biggest of all storms. Now, when you're reading, and I got this from another preacher, so it's not a new thing, but anyway, when you're studying a passage, you look at what other people have said, and I got this and I thought, wow, this is good. I'm going to share this with everybody. Now, come with me to the book of Jonah, because there are, and I've never noticed this, but there are similarities between Jonah's story and the readers, the story in the book of Mark. And even more, I think when Mark was choosing what to tell this Christian, he chose this incident in the boat specifically because it will make allusion to what they knew about the story of Jonah. Now, Jonah chapter 1, verse 4. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship, and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleepers? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And what of the people are you?" And of what people are you? And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." The men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quieten down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea, then the sea will quieten down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to the dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood for you. O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Now, I think you've noticed a parallel here, right? Maybe you didn't before, but you can notice this. What is happening is they're in the sea, and then there's a wind, and then this man, he's just sleeping, just like Jesus, doesn't know what's happening around, and everybody's panicking. Notice, everybody thinks we're going to die, this is the end. And then they go to this man, and they say to this man, "Hey, help us, what is the story?" Of course he tells them the story. Now notice how they solve the problem. How do they solve the problem? They throw the man into the water. They throw Jonah. And as soon as they throw him into the sea, the sea calms down. I think there is a picture of the gospel. You see, the reason Jesus is able to give you comfort and confidence in your storms, in those small storms, is because he faced the biggest storms of all for you in your place. And that storm, he did not just say stop, that storm, he went into it. And the Bible talks of sin and death. You see, because men chose to rebel, just like Jonah, they chose to ignore what God had asked them to do, which is to live under him. The punishment was that they will leave the penalty of their action, which was death. But God, in his mercy, sent his son Jesus to say, you are not going to die. No, Jesus will die for you. Jesus will face that biggest storm of all, so that you don't have to face it. You see, if I can have faith and trust in Jesus when I'm suffering, when I've got cancer, or when I'm dying, or when somebody close is dying, if I can have confidence in Jesus in the storm of this life, it's because of the confidence and the assurance he's given me over the biggest storm, which is that which faces death and eternity. It's because he has assured me that this life is not all that there is. There's something else. You see, the reason I can face this life with very little, growing from injustice to the other, it's because I know there is another one, and that one is secured. The reason I cannot be fearful, whatever I am facing in this life, it's because I know he has secured the one to come. So let me ask you this evening, my dear friend, how have you faced the storm? Have you so much trusted in Jesus that the small storms of life do not stop you from trusting him, because he has faced the biggest of all storms, which is death for you? Have you come to trust in Jesus that he has still the biggest storm, so as you can face the small storms? Do you also trust that he can stand and still your storms, your small storms? Let's bow our heads. Now, I don't know what you're facing, and I don't know what your life is like. I don't know the things you don't tell anybody. What I do know is that unless you have put your faith in Jesus, you cannot face the storms of life. You will be fearful, you'll be anxious, and they'll just swallow you. But if you have come to put your trust in Jesus, that he has taken your sins on that cross, that he has taken away the anger of God, that he has made you right with God, that death, which is the biggest storm of all, will not have any power over you because he endured it for you, and you have come to trust him, then even if the small waves of life comes, even if you lose friends and families and you get sick or whatever, even if you lose your own limbs like we've seen in the video, oh, you can trust in him. And like the disciple, you can put your faith in him because you know he's in the boat with you, because you know he's with you. Will that be you this morning? Will you trust him no matter what comes your way? Will you sing and say, my life is in your hands?